You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 359. Today is Sunday, March 26th, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hamilton and Curtis. And guys, in tonight's show, we'll check in on some headlines, the Braves' schedule in April, and projections for the starting rotation. But first, a quick break. There is a week left in spring training, guys, so all the news really has come down to rounding out the 25-man roster, particularly the final few spots in the bullpen. So some of the potential options were skinnied down this past week, as Mauricio Cabrera looks to be headed to the DL with elbow soreness, and Blaine Boyer was released.
Aww.
So I know. Yeah. Although, you know, it started, the tide seemed to be turning with Boyer. He started to actually have some good outings, but no, it's not to be. So what is up in the air is also the number of pitchers that they're going to have on the 25-man. All spring, the only talk was that they were going with an 8-man bullpen as opposed to the more typical 7. But then today, Sunday, both Mark Bowman and Kevin McAlpin tweeted that the 7 versus 8-man decision was still up in the air. So that is to sort of be determined. But what we do know is that the following guys are locks or pretty close to locks in Jim Johnson, the 9th inning, Vizcaino for the 8th inning, and then Cole Mentor, the long guy, and then the sort of, you know, 99% locks, Kroll, Jose Ramirez, and Eric O'Flaherty. So that leaves, assuming 8 guys in the bullpen, 2 slots for Paco Rodriguez, Kevin Chapman, Chaz Rowe, and David Hernandez, who they picked up today as a non-roster invitee. He pitched for the Phillies last year, but they plan to give him a closer look this week. So, Ham, how do you feel about the bullpen in general heading into the season?
I will have to say, I think I was more bullish on the bullpen in past weeks. And just as we get closer and looking at this, I am on the fence about it. I mean, I'm maybe a 5 in my confidence level. So I have more confidence in JJ and Viz and Cabrera when he comes back and is healthy, Jose Ramirez and O'Flaherty. And to be honest, I'm not overwhelmingly confident in any of those guys, right? I mean, Jim Johnson is very old. Vizcaino has struggled. Cabrera has got a lot of heat, but he's, you know, not perfect. Jose Ramirez, good arm, not perfect. And we've talked about EOF. So I have confidence in those guys to a degree. Less confidence in the rest, you know. Kroll, I don't know. Cole Mentor as a long guy, sure. I think they take Paco and Chaz Rowe for the final 2 slots. I mean, Kevin Chapman is essentially Blaine Boyer as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if you're, you know. So he had a great 2013 when he was the Astros, but he seems very replaceable. So I don't see him making the roster. I don't know about David Hernandez. But anyway, I have no confidence in those guys. They could be anybody. So I don't know. I mean, certainly there's a good ceiling there. Certainly I could see a scenario where Jim Johnson continues to be, you know, dominant or clutch when he needs to be, and Vizcaino can get back to form, and then Cabrera can be throwing 170 miles an hour, and EOF can be that crafty lefty. I mean, I can see all those things, see all of those things playing out. I could also see all of those things not playing out, and the bullpen being a real weakness for us, and, you know, we're going to get into the starting pitching a little bit later. There are some question marks there as well. So I don't know. I'm not overwhelmingly confident in the bullpen, but I have some confidence to answer your question.
Yeah, I mean, so Ham, I agree. Jim Johnson, Vizcaino, and EOF, strangely, I mean, it's still crazy and awesome the kind of spring he's had, all have either, you know, a 0 ERA or ERAs in the ones. I mean, they've really been quite good all spring. So I feel pretty good about them. Cole Mentor, obviously, he's the long guy, although he's had a good spring. And the rest of the guys have been uneven. Mm-hmm. You know, Chaz Rowe has looked dreadful at times. Chapman's been inconsistent. Obviously, they brought in David Hernandez today because they don't love all the options. Right. So yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm probably more a 6 than a 5, but yeah, the back end 8 and 9 feels pretty good, but the rest of the bullpen could be a bit of a question. We'll need to see in the regular season. Curtis, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of hoping that Paco Rodriguez, I've sort of been looking forward to him ever since we traded for him. And maybe he gets sent down just to give some more time for his arm to completely heal, give that full time.
His stock certainly fell compared to the beginning of spring.
Yeah, I'm with you with the rest of these guys. And I mean, EOF to me, that this seems like a great story, but if you tell me 2 weeks in he's completely exploded, I wouldn't doubt that for a second.
Or that his elbow has completely exploded.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Cabrera, the elbow soreness, it sounds like it's not that big of a deal. He said he's had this before and that he's had more soreness in the past than he's got right now. I guess the bigger issue with him is sort of his control of that 170-mile-an-hour fastball. But it seems like there's some good pieces, just like sort of the rest of the team. There's some good pieces, and then there's some question marks that we don't really know what to expect from them. And maybe that's why there are so many guys that they're going to bring through this. Hernandez was not bad last year. He was 3-4 with a 384 for Philadelphia. So, you know, maybe there's something there that they can dig up. They've been sort of masters at finding some of these guys that nobody hears about, and then they come in and produce for a couple of months at least. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's why you go with an 8-man bullpen if you have so many question marks, right, and so many iffy pieces. You hedge your bets a little bit more. I bet they go with 8. That would be my bet, just the way looking at the options that they have.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the reason the talk from the beat writers today became, oh, well, it still could be 7. I bet that there are trade talks heating up in the front office for another bat. I really think that they are determined to get more power on the bench, and they really may, you know, still keep Bonifacio, not only to spite me, but to actually have a real backup. To have a real backup center fielder, because I mean, Jace, who they've played there, and Darno, I mean, they can play there, but it ain't going to be pretty. Curtis, what do you think about 8 guys in the bullpen versus 7 with this team?
I think that one of the main reasons that they would keep 8 guys is because, as much as we've talked about them bringing Colon and Dickey in for innings and things like that, you still have an issue with these guys pitching a lot of innings. I mean, Folty last year was his most. He only pitched 120 innings. Obviously, he's a young guy, but I mean, to expect that he's going to make a massive jump. Tehran only pitched 188 innings last year. Jaime Garcia's averaged, because of injuries throughout his career, only 130 innings.
He was 170 last year.
Yeah, but still. So, and you don't know what you're getting with Dickey.
You Colon, do not know.
Colon, maybe a little more. Maybe we keep our fingers crossed and that he is that guy that pitched for the Mets last year. But I think that's the reason why you're potentially keeping 8 men in the bullpen is to cover, because you can't wear these guys down like they've done so much in the past where they really have to pitch almost every single day. You're just not getting a lot of complete games out of these guys. So you're going to have more depth in the bullpen. And to quickly to that point about the bench, I mean, I read that they're contemplating not maybe completely, but like keeping Tuiasa Sopo around just because they're so desperate for any semblance of power off the bench, which is sort of frightening.
Have you actually seen Tuiasa Sopo news in the last week and a half?
I read something today, and maybe I'm making that up, and maybe it was not from today, but I swear that there was still kind of rumblings that he might have a chance at the team because of the lack of power.
So, guys, 2016 started in miserable fashion, as we probably remember. The Braves went 5-18 in April with a 9-game losing streak to start the season, and then an 8-game losing streak in April as well. Memories. So let's look at what the Braves are facing in April this season. 24 games, 8 series, 6 on the road, 2 at home. Those series are in order: at the Mets, at the Pirates, at the Marlins, home finally for the Padres and the Nationals, and then back on the road for the Phillies, the Mets again, and the Brewers. So, Curtis, what do you think? I mean, what do you think of the schedule in the first month, and what is your prediction on those 24 games? What record do the Braves go?
Well, they don't get any favors having to go on the road six of the first eight series that they have to play. And I just sort of went through this. Obviously, I'm sure you guys did the same thing and just sort of looked at each series thinking, maybe they can win one of those. Maybe they'll win two from them. Best I could come up with was 10 and 14. And that seems generous, frankly.
So Kurt, the Mets and the Nats are the only teams above 500 on the schedule. And the Nats are the only ones that won over 90. I mean, Pittsburgh, Florida, Padres, Phillies, Brewers, they're all under 500 last year. I know it's all on the road. I mean, the Pirates are under 500.
Yeah, but we never play well in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go through, and even I gave one, I didn't list any sweeps, didn't put the Nationals as like sweeping us, which totally could happen. Mets 1-2, Pittsburgh 1-2, Florida 2-1, San Diego 2-1, Nats 1-2, Philly 1-2, just because, you know, it seems like we've struggled to play up in Philadelphia the last couple of years. Mets again 1-2, Milwaukee 2-1. I don't think that that's crazy.
Well, I don't think it's crazy. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if they went 8-16, I wouldn't be like super shocked. But I do think it's going to go a little better than that. I mean, Scherzer's not starting the season. Steven Matz is not going to be starting the season. Some of the pitchers we might face, we're not going to face in the first month. I've got 12-12 to start the season.
That's what I have. I have the same thing.
Has sort of any concern about how bad they've been this spring, has that leaked into anything that you're...
Well, yes. I mean, it would be nice if they had actually scored some runs this spring.
And granted that NCRT was out and Swanson was out and Freddie was out, whatever, you know, WBC or injuries or whatever it might be. So it's not like they've had a full complement the entire spring training, but they are by far the worst team coming out of spring training.
Yeah, I mean, it is easy to focus on the fact that they're not scoring a lot of runs this season. On the other hand, like if they score some runs in the first two games, it all is moot, you know? So,
and it's just not real baseball. It's just not real baseball. I mean, they're getting so many guys are getting at bats. People, you know, you're not getting a third. You're not seeing a pitcher for a third time in a game, right? You're not like getting their timing down. It's just not real baseball. And there are a lot of times when the Braves led the National League in runs and had similar records in spring training. So I hear you. I mean, I think you could paint whatever story you want looking at spring training stats, but I just think it's just not real baseball. I'm with you. I think the Mets are overrated. I mean, I think that they got to the World Series 2 years ago, and then everybody thinks that they're the next coming. I don't buy them as much. I'm scared of the
pitching is so stout, though.
Yeah.
The Mets.
Well, let's see how it plays out when the season starts, I guess. I could see us splitting that. I think the Pirates scare me. I think the Pirates have good pitching. I mean, they're 2 years removed from a very good season. They still have a lot of good players and some good pitching. But I think
they've gone 18-9 this spring.
Yeah, and I think – and that's where the spring training stats count. No.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Nats are tough. But other than that, I mean, I think we – I really think we're just as good as the Marlins, the Padres, the Phillies, the Brewers.
my son's AA bucket baseball team. I mean, that's like that's some of the worst teams in the National League.
And I mean, it's on the road. A lot of it's on the road. I think we go 12-12 as well. I'm with you, Steve.
So the Braves announced this week that you will not be allowed to bring food into SunTrust Park as you were to Turner Field. Hammy, what do you think about it?
I hate it. So they're citing a league mandate for security reasons that they're not allowing people to do it. However, the Cardinals, you can still do it at Busch Stadium or whatever that stadium is called now. You can still do it at Yankee Stadium. So I don't buy it.
I'm shocked you can do it at Yankee Stadium. That's surprising, money grab.
Well, I know, and that's exactly what – I mean, it feels like such a tone-deaf move by the organization to extort fans and be like, oh, it's a league mandate. And I feel like it's just, you know, a lot of bad publicity over SunTrust, the move to SunTrust Park. Obviously, a lot of that's gone away, and a lot of the excitement for this opening day has been built up. And, you know, looking at the pictures of the stadium, which it looks beautiful, it's going to be super exciting. But it really makes – it just makes me angry. It's just a greedy move. And it's harder for the average family to enjoy an evening at the ballpark, and the prices are ridiculous. I mean, they're just ridiculous. $7 for a hot dog, or if you are a season ticket holder, it's like $5.50 or something like that. They have their A level pricing. It's just, I feel like it's a convenient excuse to say that it's a security reason for the Braves to extort fans, and I hate it. I hate it.
Well, we know it has nothing to do with the league wide policy. It is a money grab.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did they throw out about the parking? Didn't they offer something about the parking too? Why they weren't going to allow private lots and they were going to make everybody park in lots? They gave us some excuse about that too.
Yeah. I mean, look, part of what was great about Turner Field, aside from the fact that it was 5 minutes from my house, is that it was one of the cheapest tickets in baseball. You could walk up there any night of the week and, you know, scalp really cheap tickets. I mean, but that's, of course, part of the reason that they've moved, mm-hmm. right, is to regenerate all the interest. But, yeah, they've gone from one of the cheapest tickets in the league to fourth most expensive average ticket in the league. I mean, it is it is all new. It is premium baseball with the Atlanta Braves and charging for food and only letting you bring in water. It's all part of it. But yeah, I mean, it kind of blows.
Yeah. And the product is not commiserate with the prices yet. I mean, hopefully it gets there, but it's just tone deaf. I mean, the fans have, what are you going to do? Not go? I mean, you're going to boycott with your dollar, but that seems like a unfortunate only option as a consumer is to say, well, I'm just not going to go, or I'm going to go there and not spend money on food and I'll show them. Right. I mean, you're handcuffed. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Well, and they're probably trying to push people to eat at the restaurants and the Battery.
All of it. Oh, sure.
Stuff yeah. too. But it's look, this is Liberty Mediaville. And people need to get used to this. And when they go and sign, hopefully when they start signing people and their payroll goes up, you're paying for that, too. They're going to up the prices on the concessions. They're going to up the prices on the parking. They're going to up the prices for the tickets. They're going to up all that because you're going to be the one paying for it, not them. This is the way it's going to work, and that's why they moved. They wanted all the revenue that they could get out of a stadium, and Cobb County gave it all to them. So this is
all
not
part of
surprising
their plan.
At all. Yeah. Absolutely.
It is the new era in Braves baseball.
Yeah.
All right, folks, please help out the podcast by spreading the word. Go out to iTunes, write a review. For those of you on Twitter, when we tweet a link to the show, if you would retweet it to your followers. And lastly, just tell all your friends. We would really appreciate it. All right, so guys, on the last podcast, we talked about the Braves' strong finish to the 2016 season, and it had very little to do with the starting pitching, which is why the starting rotation looks little like it did last year. So let's take a look at how those five pitchers finished last season and their projections for this year. But first, a quick break. Before we look ahead to the revamped starting the rotation, let's look back at what the five pitchers did last year in the final 3 months of the season. So we'll start with Julio Teheran. From July to September last year, he posted a 4.17 ERA and a .271 batting average against. I didn't realize or remember that Teheran somewhat stumbled down the last half of the season compared to the first half, because the first half he had a .246 and a .183 batting average against. So Zips projections has him at a 3.7 ERA and a .247 batting average against. Hammy, does that feel about right to you?
It feels high for me. I'm surprised that his ERA was that high, was that high in the second half of last year. I think he is a better pitcher than his projections. I know we're going to do our predictions next week, but I'm doubling down on him having another ace-type season for us. I think he's going to come in around 3.3 for an ERA, and I guess the batting average against feels about right. But I think he's going to have a close to, 3.2, 3.3 ERA is my prediction.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that, Hammy. Curtis?
Absolutely. Pre-All-Star break, it was sub-3. Batting average against was .207, below .1 on a whip. So I'm shocked that they're presenting that number. That seems way too high. I'm right in there with Ham. 3.2, 3.25, something like that.
All right, so last year, July to September, Bartolo Colon posted a 3.91 ERA and a 2.71 batting average against. Zips has him projected this year for a 4.2 ERA and a 2.81 batting average against. Curtis, what do you think about those numbers?
You know, those sort of feel like that's probably going to end up what it's going to be, but I don't know that that's what we need out of him. And just looking over these numbers, and I know you're going to give them to all of us as we go through, it does not look like a very stout starting rotation at all.
But Ron's the only one under four, so no, not at all.
I can't see much different than from this projection for Colon. I think that's probably going to be pretty spot on.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to see the entirety of the NL East, just like he has the last few seasons with the Mets. Hopefully it's closer to four than 4.2. But look, if he can stay right around four and pitch deep into games, that's a lot of what we're looking for from him. So
I guess so. I mean, for me, it's all about the defense behind him, right? I mean, he's going to throw – I think he had like 1.5 pitches in his repertoire last year, and I think he lost a pitch this year. So he's like – he has an 82-mile-an-hour fastball that he's basically going to just locate, right? And so it's a question of how does Garcia field? How does Phillips field? I mean, I think we know that we've got a good fielder in Inciarte and Markakis, definitely Freeman. But, you know, what kind of year is Phillips going to have? Do we really know what kind of fielder Dansby is over a long period of time? I mean, he's not horrible, but...
He looked great last year. I mean, that's, I think, his strongest tool so far.
But we need a full season to see. I hear you. I mean, obviously optimism is there, but I think that's going to be his batting average, his BABIP, right? I think it's going to be the big... telling number for him is if he, you know, how the people field behind him will be the real barometer for what his ERA is and his batting average is. But it does feel like a depressing, you know, that feels about right, unfortunately, 4.2.
All right, on to Jaime Garcia, July through September last year, a 5.27 ERA and a 0.269 batting average against. He gave up a ton of homers in the second half of the year. Zips has him at a 403 this coming season and a 260 batting average against. Yeah. You know, guys, I'll start on Garcia. I mean, it's hard to say, right? He has an injury history. He clearly was not great down the stretch last year, but in 2015, he posted a 2.43 ERA starting 20 games. He had missed the first month and a half due to injury. I don't know. Garcia could be the sneaky second best guy on the staff, or he could get injured in the first month. You know, it feels. It feels like it's one or the other. But I think that if he stays healthy, I feel like he could be more like 3.9 or 3.8.
I think he could go even lower. I mean, I think that I saw that his homers per nine projection was down to like 1.1 or even lower because of the move to SunTrust. Maybe I got that wrong. So I think that's going to help. And, you know, he's a year further away from his injury. He started 30 games last year. Last year was just a horrible year for him. But, you know, change of location, feeling a little healthier. I think in play for him is a 3.5 ERA, right? I mean, there's no reason – I think there's no reason to not expect that, just as much as there's no reason not to expect a 4.03. So I think his ceiling could be, you know, closer to Tehran numbers.
Curtis, what do you think?
Well, and this is a lot what Ham was just talking about for Colon. Even more so, Garcia is actually the active all-time leader in ground ball percentage. 56.5% mark of ground balls. So really going to be imperative that they play good defense behind him. And last year, it almost an anomaly in his career, numbers that were not indicative of what he's done throughout his career. He's still only 30 years old, unlike Dickey and Colon, who are 457 years apiece. So hopefully he bounces back, maybe gets down 377, somewhere in that neighborhood. I think that would be a target that we could count on.
All right, so moving on to R.A. Dickey, who I saw, I think it was Saturday this weekend, the game was on Fox Sports South, and it was the first time I saw him pitch. God, the The big gray bushy beard just does nothing to help my confidence about R.A. Dickey. I got to tell you.
If he was pitching for your softball team, you'd be very fired up about
it. That's true. We have Jaime Garcia and Jerry Garcia, the two Garcia brothers, pitching for us.
All right. So July through September last year, he posted a 4.84 ERA, a 261 batting average against. Zips has him at a 4.5 this year and a 258 batting average against. Hammy, what are your thoughts about Dickey heading into the season?
I have no idea. I mean, he feels like the biggest, you know, question mark of all these guys.
Least surprising to just be awful.
And
right?
Yeah, and you know, and somehow we're going to see. I mean, I wonder how horrible he would have to be for him for, you know, Whistler or Blair or somebody to come take his spot. But who knows? I mean, I have no feel for him whatsoever. You know, the question I have for you guys is, so is it pretty much a foregone conclusion that, or a thought that with Cologne and Dickey, certainly, maybe even Garcia to some extent, is that the best case scenario is that they have really good starts to the season and then get traded?
Right. Yeah. 100%. But I think that will mean that Blair, Newcomb, or Whistler, and Whistler's had two really good starts in a row, by the way, that those guys also are keeping up their end of the bargain and can come in and replace them.
Yeah. But I think so. Yeah.
And they've got Cole Minter hanging around too.
That's true. That's true.
Right. So, and there's a lot, I mean, there's a lot of guys who, you know, I mean, it could be back to next year where it's just starting rotation by committee. Anyway, so that's my hope. I hope he eats a lot of innings and he has he's amazing. And then some contender is hard up for a fifth starter and wants someone who can just sort of be stable and we get some prospects for him. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but Hammy, he scares the hell out of me too. But, you know, you look at his, you look at the back of his baseball card, right? The two out of the last four seasons, he posted ERAs below four. And I am still willing to believe that getting out of the AL and getting out of a dome should help him.
Sure.
On the flip side, he's looked really bad this spring, except for his last start. And I think it wasn't his whenever he started in the past couple of days and he had actually a pretty decent start. It was the start before that was bad again. And I had tweeted something about his start. I don't remember what I said, but some guy who does a Blue Jays podcast responded to us with, "And so it goes," which just put a chill in my heart. A guy who's watched him the last 4 years very closely.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Curtis, what do you think about Dickey?
God, and so it goes. my only hope is that, like you said, he comes back to the National League East where he had really the most success he had in his career and somehow sort of recaptures some magic. I cannot imagine, Ham, to what you were talking about, whatever comes out of R.A. Dickey this
being
first
trade
half
worthy
of the season, that anybody is going to trade anything for him regardless. He could be throwing, you know, he could have a 1.2 ERA. I still don't think anybody's going to have any faith in him. So, I mean, that's the only hope I have is that getting out of the American League and coming back to the NL East somehow recaptures the magic that he clearly has not found to this point.
And look, I mean, pitching against the four other teams, or at least Red Sox, Yankees, and Orioles 19 times.
Blue Jays, too. He was on the Blue Jays.
On the Blue Jays. Yeah. Those are some very stout lineups. So, you know, he gets the Phillies and he gets the Marlins. And, you know, things are a little easier this year for him. So hopefully that gets better. All right. And last but not least, Folty. July through September last year, a 4.55 ERA and a 2.65 batting average against. Zips has him projected for a 4.25 ERA and a 2.58 batting average against. I think that Folty is going to kill it this year.
Me too.
I really do. I really just think this is going to be his coming out party. I think he posts, you know, something more in the high threes. I think he's just going to have a great, great year. So I think I think Folty's going to really move up the ranks of the rotation pretty quickly. Tammy?
Yeah, I totally agree. Folt 45. I saw that written down. I love that nickname. I think I think he's half a run better than 4.25. I think he's lower than 3.75. I think, you know, I think he has finally earned this spot, right? He is solidly our fifth starter. He's not looking over his shoulder anymore. I can only hope that that boost of confidence that comes with that helps his mental approach to the game. We've talked about this. He's got the tools, right? He's got the arm. I think this is his chance to calm down and just buckle down, win games, have a lot of those masterpieces that he throws sometimes. I mean, he had so many good games where he, you know, three hitters, one run games, or, you know, just shutouts through seven. Like, he's got that in him. I think he's going to have a lot more of those this season. And I think he is going to be our number two starter.
He has shown good mental makeup stuff this spring. I mean, that's one of the reasons I think it's going to be much better than they're projecting, because he has seemingly figured some of that stuff out.
Yep.
Curtis?
Agree 100%. All over it.
Full T. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, we are at our new home of Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.